Well, we are doing a two-week mini-series on worship. Last week, we laid a foundation by asking a very important question. Worship, why does it matter to you? Why does it matter to all of us? I mean, if you look around the room, we all come from different walks of life, different jobs, different passions, different interests, different beliefs. And we answer the question, okay, all of us are coming from different walks of life, but why does worship matter to all of us? And so we talked about that last week, and we talked about four different reasons, and this isn't an exhaustive list, but it's an important list. The first thing we said was, listen, God is worthy. We have a God this morning that is worthy of our worship, and right now in heaven, in his presence, the room temperature of heaven is worship. There's always an anthem, there's always a proclamation, there's always angels and the saints that have gone on before us and creatures that are singing his praise this morning. And we said, listen, we need to know this morning that there is a God who deserves your worship. That was the first reason. The second reason is that we are all worshipers, and we're going to worship something. I mean, you can't say no to this. You can't get out of it. We are all created by God and for God this morning. And because of that, we all have a worshiping mechanism inside of us that's longing to worship something. And I said last week, let's make sure that we don't worship anything less worthy of our life than a worthy God. The third reason was that there's a war going on for your worship. And, you know, I didn't want to scare you with this, but I thought it was important that this gets on our radar and we start talking and thinking about this, that right now there is a war going on for your worship. And we talked about the story of Jesus Christ and how he was tempted by Satan in the desert just before he started his earthly ministry, and Satan wanted Jesus to give him his worship. Don't worship your father. Don't do the will of your father. Worship me. We talked about Job and how there was a war in heaven going on for Job's worship. He found himself in a lot of bad things going on in his life, a lot of sad things, a lot of depressing things, and it's because there was a war going on for his worship. And I said, maybe, just maybe, when you guys are going through bad times in your life, when you find yourself in a pinch, there might have just been a challenge that went up to God. So I said, guard your worship. Don't let anyone or anything rob you of the opportunity to do the one thing you were made to do. And the last point, it was an exciting point, and I actually heard back from a lot of you as to how this was encouraging to you guys, was how Isaiah 61 talks about how when we worship, it's like a garment of praise that comes upon us, and a spirit of heaviness is removed. And if we're honest this morning, all of us carry something, some baggage, some stress, some anxiety, some hurt, some pain this morning. And the scriptures tell us that when we worship, and our soul comes into the presence of a living God, that burden falls off our shoulders. And we all need that, don't we? And the reason this happens is because you were made for God. You were made by God, and your soul is happy when it's thinking about him, when it's dwelling on him, when it's worshiping him. So those are some reasons. There's a lot more reasons as to why worship should get on our radar, but we talked about, because of these things, because there's a worthy God this morning, it needs to get up to the top of our priority list. And we talked about Deuteronomy 6:5, which the Jewish people call the Shema, which for them was the summary of all scriptures. And when Jesus in the New Testament was asked, you know, what's the most important thing we should be doing as Christians? What's the most important law? Jesus didn't hesitate. He said, it's easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he was talking about the priority of worship. You know, it needs to get to the top of our list, worship. That's the number one thing that God's looking for in our life is worship. So today what we're going to do, we're going to change gears a little bit. We talked about why it's important. Today we're going to talk about worship from God's point of view. And that's an exciting thing because oftentimes we think of worship from our point of view. And that's not a hard thing to do because typically we think of life from our point of view. So we'll come into church on Sunday morning and we'll think things like, well, I hope this person's leading worship today. I hope they sing that song. I like that song. I got something out of Dave's message today. You know, I wasn't really going to come to church today, but at the last second I decided to come to church today. And so far everything's been, well, what's in it for me? And the cool thing is that there is something in it for us, but primarily most of the stuff in worship is for God. So today we need to have a change of mind, a change of thinking to say when we're coming in here on Sunday morning, we're not coming in here because we need it. We're coming in here because God is worthy. It's a totally different way of life. It's a revolution for humanity to say, listen, I'm taking myself out of the center of my life, out of my worship, and I'm putting God into the center. I'm taking myself out of focus, and I'm going to put God in the focus because primarily worship is to God. It's for God. It's about God. Now, I don't know if you guys have kept up with, you know, the pop culture of church in the last few decades, but there's been a lot of debate about worship. I don't know if you guys know about this. Some of you guys might be too young to care, so you can just listen to this and laugh a little bit about it if you want. But people my age, a little bit younger and definitely older, we've gone through this in the last few decades. There's been so much debate and so much passion and so many things, people's thoughts and ideas and views about what worship should be. And nothing was more debated than these. It's okay, you can laugh. You can cry. You can do whatever you want to do. Okay, class participation is always welcome. So we have literally these things now in the house of God, these circular wooden tubes that have a plastic thing on it and keep a beat for a song. And literally when this came out into churches all across North America, people were freaking out. I mean, literally, it's the end of the world as we know it. Repent. Jesus is coming back. There are drums in the house of God. There's no more choir. We have a worship team. Brock, there's no one at the front doing this anymore, and we're singing. Do you guys ever have that in your churches growing up? A guy doing this? Yeah, we had it. Well, if there's no director at the front, how are we going to know how to sing the songs? I mean, who's going to lead us? There's no hymnals anymore. There's a projector. You know what most of this was about? You know what it was about? It wasn't about the drums. It wasn't about the projector. You know what it was about? Us. What we like. What we want. What we desire. Instead of us saying this, God, what do you want? What do you desire? Choir, no choir. Worship team, orchestra. Projector, hymnals. Should we come in robes? What do you want, God? I mean, and at the end of the day, the beautiful thing about God is that he comes back every time with the same answer. You know, the worship I desire from my children is in spirit and in truth. You know, I don't care if you come to church in robes. I don't care if you come dressed in the nicest three-piece suit you have. I don't care if you wear shorts and a t-shirt to church on Sunday morning. You see, you guys, me too, we look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And today, if worship is primarily to God, if it's for God, if it's about God, then I think, church, it's time that we start to ask the question, well, what does God want? What does he want? What is spirit? What is truth? What does that look like? So today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go through a definition of worship, and I encourage you guys to follow along on your sheets. Fill in the blanks if you haven't already. This is the first point of worship. Sorry, we're going to turn to Hebrews. Sorry, first, Hebrews 13, verses 15 to 16. And this is really the core passage of Scripture that we have on worship in the Scriptures. And this is what the author of Hebrews, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. Some people think it was a guy. Some people actually think it was a girl, and that's why it's unknown. Okay, so we don't really know who the author of Hebrews is, but this is what the author says about worship. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and to not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. The first point this morning is this. What kind of worship does God desire? Well, first, worship is through Jesus. I mean, that's the whole theology of worship, and that's really my message today, is that authentic worship has to do with the person of Jesus Christ. You know, it's not really about the songs that we sing on Sunday morning. It's about you having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And listen very carefully. By which you are forgiven of your sins and birthed into new spiritual life. Which means we are alive. Our words and our worship now are alive and acceptable in the presence of a living God through Jesus Christ this morning. And I want you to be very, I want you to listen and I want you to get this. The only reason why any of us this morning can come in the presence of a living God this morning has nothing to do with you, has nothing to do with your own merit and what you've done this week. You know, that's why when you guys came through the door this morning, there was no one at the door, you know, seeing if you were a good enough person to come and worship with us this morning. You know, no one was checking your ID or hooking you up to a sin meter. At least I hope they weren't, because that's not what we're doing here. I mean, no one was doing that because the only thing that makes any of you worthy to come and worship God this morning is Jesus Christ. And it's through his sacrifice and us believing in that and accepting that that bring us into new standing with God. And now we become alive spiritually and we become worshipers. And if I can put this, if I can just say this, if I can get this out there, in other words, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, your worship hasn't come full on yet. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean he's not tuned into your life. He does. He loves you. It just means that you're still on the road to becoming an alive person spiritually. You see, God said the kind of worship I desire is spirit and truth, and spirit comes from an awakened heart, a cleansed and a forgiven soul. And the author of Hebrews here comes in and he says, listen, I mean, his or her book is all about this. It's through Jesus. The author uses words like, Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is our mediator. He's the bridge between us sinful people and a perfect, holy God this morning. We come in through the doorway of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that God is looking for. Did you come in this morning through the doorway of Jesus Christ? Because that's what's going to make your worship acceptable this morning in the presence of a living God. So it's through Jesus. The second point is this, is that worship is our response. The author of Hebrews says, through Jesus, therefore, we're going to stop there. Every time we see a word therefore in Scripture, in our language today, it means respond. Through Jesus, therefore. And listen, if you guys tune out for the rest of the service today, and that's cool. I mean, I don't want you to do that, but I understand. But I want you guys to realize this, is that worship is a response. And if we look at it really quickly, if you want to flip over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul's writing a similar passage here on worship that the author of Hebrews does, and this is what he says about worship. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And when we start to look at these two passages, we begin to understand what the responsive side of worship really is, what it looks like. And we begin to understand that God is demanding a whole bunch of us in our worship. In fact, God's demanding our entire life in our worship. And listen, if you're new to this morning, you could be thinking, why? I mean, that seems like a whole lot. Well, it's simple. We come in the door through Jesus Christ this morning. He gave all of himself for you. And now he wants you to give all of yourself for him. If you look at Romans 12:1, there's a doxology in the verses just before Romans 12:1. And Paul's saying pretty much, you know, don't ever try to understand God. He's amazing. He's huge. You're never going to be able to figure God out. So don't even try. But at the end of the doxology, he says this. He says, from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And that's enough to get the therefore. Respond. You know, because everything is from him and through him and to him, respond, church. And then he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I love how Paul doesn't come in here and he doesn't say, you know, offer your songs as worship. He doesn't say offer a prayer. You know, don't offer your 5-minute daily bread devotional throughout the week to God as worship. He says, no, it's bigger than that. Offer your entire life, your entire body, all of your resources as worship. And God says, that's the worship that I want. That's the worship I want. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Why? Because this is your spiritual act of worship. Other translations say this is your reasonable act of worship. What he's saying here is that this is the right response to what Jesus Christ has done for you. This is the only response in view of what Christ has done for you. In view of the mercies of God, bring it all as worship. Which means this, guys, this morning, in view of the mercies of God, in view of what Jesus Christ has done, if we've come through the door of Jesus Christ this morning, in view of the mercies of God, this is really, really important because I think most of us, we struggle with this. Don't pick and choose what you're going to give God. Don't pick and choose your worship this morning, okay? And we all struggle with this. You know, Brock, I'll give God my time, but I won't give God my money. You know, Brock, I love socials in the church, but I don't love sharing about myself and getting vulnerable in a church. Love Bible studies, hate application. You know, Brock, I love giving money to missionaries, but I don't want to actually share my faith with people. I hate the worship songs you guys sing on Sunday morning, but I love the sermons. Love the songs, hate the sermons. I'm not really a prayer, so I'm not really going to pray to God, but I love singing songs. God says, no. Don't pick and choose what you're going to give me. He says, give it all to me. In view of the mercies of God, which means this, guys, that we were dead and now we're alive. I had nothing but judgment coming my way, and now all I got is grace and mercy. In view of that, in light of that, if that's what you've done for me, God, then my response is pretty clear. All of me, for all of you. That's what God's looking for this morning. You know, Melissa and I, we had a chance a few years ago to travel through the Middle East, and we backpacked through some amazing places in Egypt and Jordan and Israel and some other places, and we had the opportunity to climb Mount Sinai, and so we did it. And if you guys don't know, Mount Sinai today, the mountain called Mount Sinai, is where they think Moses went up and received the Ten Commandments, and a lot of other cool things in the Bible happened. And so we went up the mountain in the middle of the night. We trekked up there, and it was a long walk. We went up with some people that we met on our adventures, and it was an amazing thing. When we get to the top, we bumped into other people from other parts of the world because they took other trails to get there. And I remember in the darkness, all of a sudden we saw, lower than us, we saw a light, and it started to grow, and it started to pierce through the sky. And then wonderful colors, the reds, the oranges, the yellows, obviously. And you start to see the sun rising. And man, I was so excited. You look around and you start to see other mountain peaks that you didn't see in the nighttime. And you look and you see the desert for as far as the eye can see. And you see beautifulness. You see God's beauty everywhere. And this sunrise was so awesome. I remember I was running around and I was like, Melissa, we got to start taking some pictures. So we're taking pictures. And I'm like, do you see this? And Melissa's like, yeah, I see this. Do you see this? I'm like, yeah, I saw this. I just asked you if you saw this. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like, this is awesome. What do you think? And we're running around. I remember we grabbed some people. I remember it was like yesterday. We grabbed some people and we were like, hey, are you a Christian? And some people were like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Other people were like, no, I'm not a Christian. We're like, okay, Christian. Well, I mean, not Christians, you can come too, but I mean, you guys want to come and sing praises to God? And we literally grabbed some people. We sat at the cliff of the mountain and we literally just started singing, how great is our God. It was amazing. I mean, look at this scenery. Look at this view. It was amazing. And you know what, guys? I could sit here all day and I could describe to you guys that view and it wouldn't make your heart beat any faster. Because if you haven't seen the view, you can't respond to it. It's just the way it is. And if you guys haven't seen Jesus this morning, you can't respond to him. Nobody can make you worship Jesus with your whole heart because worship is a response. And if you haven't seen him, you can't respond to him. I mean, you guys, you just don't know what it's like to be, you know, at the side of your bed one night, kneeling down and opening scripture and reading God's word and through the Spirit working in that moment, you see Jesus for the first time and you get it. You're like, I get your mercies. I get it, what you've done for me, and I don't deserve this, and you're amazing, God, and I love you. And you're freaking out and you're doing whatever it is you do when you're emotional and the Spirit's working in your life, and it's an amazing thing. I mean, you don't know what it's like to be in a gathering of other believers and you're not a believer, but you show up and all these people are worshiping, and through the words on the screen and through the music and through the Spirit and through God's word being opened up, you see Jesus for the first time. You're like, I get it. I get your mercies. I get it. I see you now. And you know, guys, this morning, what's imperative in our worship isn't that we sit here and I'm going to try to worship you. I'm going to try to get it out this morning, God. That's not what's imperative. What's imperative is that you see Jesus. You know, Paul's not preaching a long sermon here. He just says, take your body, everything you are and everything you have, put it on the altar and say, God, all of me, all the time, as a living sacrifice, that is my spiritual worship. And listen, guys, this morning, if you're still negotiating with God, then I hate to be the ones to tell you this, and I know you guys will not like me, and it's okay, because again, I won't be here next week, so it's cool. But if you guys are negotiating with God this morning, you just don't have a clue about his mercies. I mean, it's not a knock on you. We're all in process here of learning more about God, every single one of us. But if you're negotiating with God this morning, you're like, listen, God, I just don't know if I can give you my life. I don't know if I can give you everything I am. And it's just an admission that you don't really have a clue about his mercies. And again, it's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing to say, hang in there. And ask God, God, let me have a clue about your mercies, what it meant for your son, Jesus Christ, to come and to take my place. And for me to have freedom and eternal happiness now as a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And guys, listen, this morning, I'm not, some of you may think I'm here to promote a certain style of worship. I'm really not. But I want to ask you a question. What does it look like when 150 worshipers of Jesus Christ that have seen his mercy, what does it look like when they come through the doors on Sunday morning and someone stands at the front and says, would you guys like to thank God for his mercies in your life? And the place goes crazy in gratitude. Traditional, modern, I don't care. But what does it look like? You see, because when you see Jesus, you run to him. You clap. You celebrate. You stand in awe. You don't say a word. You stand in awe. You bow before him. You shout for joy. You put your hands up in surrender because you don't deserve the mercy. You do something because your spirit is alive now and you are responding to what he has done for you. And hey, listen, guys, this morning, some of us, our prayer just needs to be this. God, I need to see you more. My worship is tiny because my view of you is small. And God, if worship is a response, then I need to see you more. And that's our simple prayer for some of us this morning. God, I just need to see you more. Worship is a response. The next part of our definition is this, is that worship, we direct our worship to God. Hebrews says this, he says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise to God. Listen, I want to get something straight this morning because I just want to be on the same page with everyone because we all show up here most weeks and this is going on and, you know, there's seats, there's a stage, there's lights, there's, you know, all this amazing media stuff and Dave usually up here, he's speaking and he's talking and I just want to make sure we know what the cast is on Sunday morning. The audience is God. You guys are seated in your seats, but you're not the audience. The worship team, they are not performers. It is not their job to make sure you guys have a good time. You're the performers. And it's their job to lead and to guide and to help you come into the presence of a worthy God and to give your hearts to him. You see, worship is to God. It's aimed at God. So I want to ask you a question this morning. I think it's a fair question. Did your worship register in the heart of God? You see, because we come here and the, you know, the music starts and we have an amazing opportunity when we come here. This is our chance and the words come up on the screen and worship's happening, right? Right? Well, I thought worship's to God, which means there's a direction of our worship. There's an intention of our worship. In other words, if we're going to worship in spirit and truth, we have to have a target. And that target is God. And more specifically, it's the heart of God. That's what we're aiming for when we come here on Sunday morning. So our goal when we come here is not to have our hearts blessed, although that will happen in the process, but to be a blessing to God's heart. And listen, some of you guys are going to be thinking this, well, Brock, what's the big deal? I mean, what if I sing or don't sing? Like, what's the big deal? What if I pray or don't pray? What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is no one can give God your affection but you. No one can give God your worship but you. And we're aiming for the heart of God this morning. And God's heart says, I care about you. I want to hear what's going on in your life. Bring it. I love you guys. You're my kids. Pour out your heart to me. Don't not sing a song because you think you're a bad singer and you don't want people to hear. Man, I don't know how many times I've heard that. I just can't sing. I'm just not a good singer. I don't want to annoy the person. Listen, you're not singing for them. You're singing for an audience of one this morning. And he wants to hear from you. You know, Louis Giglio said this quote. He said about worship, worship is when we center our mind's attention and our heart's affection on the Lord. In other words, when we come here on Sunday morning, we're not looking around the room. We're not on our phones checking things out. You know, we're not talking to people at the back. We are focused on a target. And it's like a bow and arrow, if you will. It's like you come in here and you take aim and you get God in view and you think of the arrows that are handed to you in the words of the song. And you say, you know, God, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You know, how majestic are your whispers? How beautiful of a creator you are. And you think to yourself, you know, is that my heart? Is that true of me this morning? And you put it in the bow and you take aim. And you launch it at the heart of God. And any good launch requires an evaluation. Did I hit the target? And that brings God back into the picture. God, were you happy? Did you like my songs? Did you receive that? And maybe God's saying, listen, I got it. Great arrow, but not true of your life. Great song. Song not true of you, not today. Great expression, guys, but expression not true of you. And for some of us, we're going to need a different arrow this morning. And our worship isn't, you know, God, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, I love you, you're wonderful. Oh, God, you are amazing. That's not our arrow this morning. For some of us, our arrow is this: God, I come to you today, and I have been running my own life. I am the center of my life. And I come to you today as a fool and as an idiot. And even in this very moment, God, I need to readjust my thoughts to know that you are God and I am not God. And you need to be at the center. And I just confess that to you, God. I need your mercy this morning, God. Here I am. I mean, I want to be there, God. I want to be there this morning. And that's your worship. And it hits the target. And God receives that because it's spirit and it's true. See, God's looking for honesty this morning. He's looking for truth. He's looking for his kids to come to him and just pour out their hearts in all honesty. Don't be fake this morning. Don't just go through the motions. He wants to hear from you guys. And, you know, I wonder if anyone this morning is going to leave here today and just ask God, you know, God, on the way home, did you like that? God, did you like that this morning? You know, a lot of us, I know because I do this sometimes, we leave church and we say, well, you know, I love that part of the sermon. I got something out of the sermon, didn't get something out of the sermon. I agree with that point, didn't agree with that point. Love the song, hate the song. Liked how this person dressed, didn't like, I mean. And I think someone here in this room has to leave here today and just say, God, did you like it? Did you get into it? Because it was for you. My worship was for you. You know, what we're doing here on Sunday morning is for an audience of one. It's to God. It's for God. It's about God. And guys, he wants to hear from his kids. He wants honesty. He can handle it. He's a big God. Pour out your hearts to him. Pour out honesty to him this morning. We worship in spirit. We come through the door of Jesus Christ, but we worship in truth. He wants to hear from you guys this morning. Listen, I want a few practical things to help us in our worship as we leave here today. And this is the next point: is worship is our response to God for two things. And the two things are this: we worship him for who he is and what he's done. And these are two things that are always happening all the time. They're always going on around us. And these are things that we always need to be looking for in our worship. And this is what makes it possible to continually worship God. You know, and some of us this morning will say, you know, Brock, like, I mean, life's hard. I mean, it doesn't always turn out the way you want it to, and it's hard to continually worship him. And that's true unless your worship is rooted in the character of God and in the doings of God, the hand of God, the work of God. And that's why, listen, at Westside, we don't want you guys just to be seated in rows and come once a week and that's it. And we want you guys to be in a life group. We want you to be on a team, because when you're in these environments, you see the hand of God at work. You're pouring into other people. You hear about what God's doing in their life, and you can celebrate and thank God and worship God for that. You pour yourself into that group. You put yourself on the altar. You confess your personal struggles, your sins, your challenges, your joys, and your group comes around you, and together you grow in Christ, and you see God at work. And you can worship him and thank him for that. And when you're in teams, like serving at 541, you know, you see the poor, the orphans, all these people getting food, and you see God meeting their practical needs. You see other Christians coming together as a team and serving the world and the kingdom of God growing, and you say, God, I see your hand at work, and I worship you, and I praise you. And it's easy in those moments to worship God. And you know, we got teams at Westside where we got kids, over 100 kids coming to our church, from most of them from non-Christian families. And every week we see some of them just taking amazing steps in their faith. And you say, God, I see your hand at work, and I praise you and I worship you in those moments. You see, we got to be involved in what God's doing in the world. That makes it easier to worship and praise him continually. But I also understand, guys, that there's times in our life that are dark. And no matter how hard we look, we cannot see the hand of God. And it's days like these, it's seasons like these, where we have to go to the other side of the equation and we have to worship him for who he is, his attributes. And when our worship's always grounded in who he is and what he's doing, then we will always have something to praise God for. And you know what faith God loves? He loves when, you know, we're in a pinch in life, we're in a dark place, and we just say to God, you know what, God, I haven't seen your hand at work in my life in a long time. But I will continue to worship you because I know who you are. You are a faithful God. You are a creator God. you are a good God. You are a great God forever. And even though I can't see you today, God, I will continue to praise you because I know who you are. You are worthy. And even if I never see your hand at work in my life again, I will keep praising you because you are a worthy God. You know, something that I've started recently in my devotions is journaling. And what I'll do every day is I'll take one psalm and I'll find one characteristic of God in that psalm. And I'll dwell on it. I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. I'll celebrate that characteristic. And I'll write it down, just a paragraph in my journal. And I'll say, God, you know, you're provider God. You're Jehovah God. You provide for us, God. And I'll dwell on that. And I'll say, thank you, God, for the cross. Thank you for a future and a hope. God, thank you for my two boys. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for life. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for everything you give me. Thank you. And when I pour myself out and I dwell on that characteristic, I'm like, man, I'm writing a psalm. That's what I'm doing. And you start trekking on that for 30, 60 days, for a year. Man, God, you are mercy. You are perfect. You are creator. You are worthy. You are Lord of Lords. And you just keep going on and on with these characteristics. And you start flipping through the pages and you say, wow, 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 wow. And that becomes your fuel to worship God in the good days and the bad days. You know, guys, worship is our response to God for who he is. And that's a big exclamation mark, because he is and what he's done. And as worshipers, we need to leave here today always looking for these two things. You know, God, I need to dwell on who you are. That's going to sustain me for the good days and the bad days, and I'm going to look for what you're doing in the world, and that means I need to get out of these rows and involved. Kingdom building stuff. The last point is this, is that worship is a way of life. This is important. I need you guys to hear this today because this wraps everything else up. The kind of worship we're talking about is a way of life. It's not just coming in here and singing songs. Songs do not equal worship. Songs can be an expression of worship if true and they hit the target. But if they're not true and they don't hit the target of your heart, then God could say, you know what, guys, you could sing every song in the history of the church and I just don't get it. And one of the most challenging passages for me in scripture about worship is found in Isaiah. If you guys want to turn there really quickly, Isaiah chapter 1. And I think this is a commentary from God, I think, on the state of worship in our churches today in North America. And he says this about worship. This is God speaking. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons and Sabbaths and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies anymore. This is what's happening here. The people are coming before God and bringing meaningless offerings. They're just going through the motions. They're not telling God what's really on their heart. They're just going through some sort of thing. It's kind of like what we do sometimes, right? When we come here, well, it's just what I do. I just come to worship on Sunday morning. God says, come on. Then he says this in the next part of the passage. He says, your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me, and I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your new moon festivals, those are the people's worship services. He says, listen, guys, your worship services, I hate them. Your prayers, I'm not listening. They become a burden to me. You know, guys, just stop. I can't take it anymore. I can't carry this burden. It's too heavy. And guys, I think this is hard for us to hear, but I think we need to hear this morning. You know, God's stepping in and he's saying, guys, you know what? I've had enough of your worship. I just can't handle it anymore. And, you know, we say to God, well, God, you know, we got this new song and it's a great song. And God, you got to hear the lyrics to this song. And God says, I wrote that song. I inspired someone to put that song on paper. And we say to God this morning, God, we sang a hymn, Blessed Assurance. That is a hymn. That is more biblical. That is great. You love that, God. God says, come on. I mean, let's not deceive ourselves this morning, guys. Let's not come in here and think that because we've sung a couple songs that we're worshipers. The author of Hebrews says this to end the passage. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name, and do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Did you get those last two things? To do good, to do what is right, to walk in truth, to walk in the footsteps of God. Don't neglect to do that in your worship. And share what you have. In other words, don't come here this morning, guys, sing some songs and pass the poor and the needy in your wake and think that you are a worshiper. You know, there's people in your life groups, there's people in this church that are hurting spiritually, emotionally, physically, and we run by them to get to worship, and then we run home from the worship service, and God says, no, that's worship. Yes, worship is expressed in our songs, and keep singing the songs. God loves the songs. The fruit of lips. Guys, I'm not saying that songs aren't important. Trust me, I'm a worship leader. I love songs. And songs, really, it's a love language. It's us saying to God, I love you. Dad, I love you. And you know what? One of the most amazing things that I've got to experience as a father the last 3 years is when my oldest son, Ori, who's 2.5, out of nowhere, he just runs up to me and grabs my leg and says, Dad, I love you. Dad, I love you. And it comes out of nowhere. You know, Dad, don't go to work today. I love you. Just stay with me. And it melts my heart. And God says, you guys are my kids. And I want to keep hearing that. Keep telling me how much you love me. I love it. Worship is expressed in our songs. But it's also expressed in the way we live. Which means this. Don't come in here and sing these songs this week and then leave here today and have sex with your girlfriend and think that you are a worshiper. No, that's not worship. Don't come in here and sing songs and give glory to God and then leave here this week and get drunk out of your mind and give glory to the world and think that you are a worshiper. It's not congruent. It doesn't fit. You know, guys, God's not an idiot this morning. He doesn't have a small IQ like the rest of us. He says, you know what? I know all. I see all. I understand all. And, you know, we come in here this morning and we're like, God, you know, here I am to worship. I love you. You are an amazing God. You're a creator God. Oh, God, check that out. Check out my worship. And God says, yeah, I checked it out. And you need to put that arrow back in your bag. You need to get down on your hands and knees. And you need to repent of the sin that's going on in your life. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to change your ways. That's your worship. The rest of it you can keep. You know, how we do our work, that's worship. If you cheat your boss, if you speak poorly about your boss, that's not worship. If you run your own company and you're cheating the government, you're cheating your employees, it's not worship. If you guys have friends and relationships that you're not treating them honorably, it's not worship. If you guys this week are coming in here and singing songs and then you leave here and you're watching pornography this week, it's not worship. If you guys are students here today and you're not giving your heart and your soul to your schoolwork, it's not worship. You know what amazes me is the inconsistency sometimes we have as students, and again, I can say this because I was a student once upon a time, is how sometimes students, we come in here and we say, I love Westside. You know, I'm a Christian, I have a heart for my campus, but I am the biggest slacker in my class. And that is your testimony to your unbelieving professor, that Christians are cruddy students. I mean, what would happen, students, if literally you guys all, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you became alive in your worship and you said, you know what, God? I am going to do my best. I may not be the brightest student, but I will do my best as a way of showing you, God, that I've done my best, as a way to reflect you to my teachers and to my students around me that I have done my best. I mean, what would happen, students, if we left here and all of us today and all the Christians that are going to MAC, that we started doing our best? You would have, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you'd have evangelism happening because teachers would be freaking out saying, what is with the Christian students? They're the hardest working people in our school. Yeah, that's Jesus. That's Jesus in me. I'm reflecting Jesus to you because that's Jesus. Jesus wants me to give my all. It's about love. It's about respect. It's about honor. It's about giving my all. Well, you know, I'm just not going to do that paper this week. I'm going to go over to my friend's house and we're going to sing some worship songs. You know, worship is a way of life. And that's how it becomes continual, because it's a way of life. As we leave here, we're focusing on who God is and what he is, and we're showing the world that we're reflecting God to the world. I want to share a quick story with you guys as we end today. I have the permission of this person to share the story. It's a young man that I've had the chance to mentor and get to know over the past long time. And recently, he has taken a profound step in his faith. And one day, his parents got a hold of me, and they said, you know, we'd love to have a meeting with you. Can we meet up? And I was like, sure. you know, you guys are going to thank me. This is going to be great. Right? No. They came into my office, and the mother just tore a strip off me. And if you guys don't know what that means, it's not a good thing. And man, she was just livid, and I didn't understand, and I was confused, and I was like, you know what? She says, Brock, you don't get it. My boy, all he wants to do is Jesus. I mean, he gets up in the morning, he reads his Bible, he goes to bed at night, he's reading his Bible, he's reading books about discipleship and being a better Christian. I mean, Brock, my son is witnessing to me about Jesus. He wants to serve in your church. He wants to teach the next generation about Jesus. He wants to hang out with Christian friends. I mean, Brock, he wants to give money to the church. I mean, everything he is Jesus. And the mother was going crazy. And it probably didn't help in the situation that I started to laugh a little bit. Because, man, you know what? When I think about this kid, he's a testimony to all of us. Because he was living worship. And the mom, she didn't get it. She literally said to me, worship is what you do on Sunday morning. It's not a life thing. She just didn't get it. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Everything you are, everything you do, everything you own, give it to God. I want to ask this question as we end today. Can we live a life in such a way that our jobs, our relationships, our marriages, our resources, everything we have is worship to God? Can we do that? Can we do it not for the praise of each other, but for the praise of God? And listen, I get it. Some of you guys may have cruddy jobs. You may be in the trenches wherever you are in life, but can you do it in such a way that reflects God to your colleagues, that reflects God to your peers, to the people that have an influence or see you in your life? Can you reflect God to them as a way to say, I'm going to be living in worship? You see, I want my life to be a life that's a mirror that reflects Jesus. I'm not there yet. I'm trying. We're a work in progress. Through the grace of God, we're going to do this. But can we leave here today saying, man, that is, I want to be a living worship sacrifice to you, God. Here it is, the definition of worship. If you haven't pieced it together yet on your papers, if we have it up there, Zach. Worship is our response to God for who he is, what he's done, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live our lives. That is the worship that God desires this morning. Church, let's continue worshiping. Let's bow in his presence and let's pray to him. Father God, this morning we come and we thank you so much for these truths. We thank you for reminding us through Isaiah, through Paul in Romans, and through the author of Hebrews, God, what worship really is. God, you desire us to worship in spirit through Jesus Christ this morning and in truth. God, I pray we will be children that aren't afraid to tell you what's going on in our hearts, that will totally just bring everything we are to you and place our lives on the altar and just say, God, have all of me. We love you, God. Would you give us strength to do this? Would you encourage us to do this? Would you give us mentors and friends in our lives that can help us to do this in our lives as well? We love you so much, God. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.